Hey, sports fans, did you know there is a convention just for you? Just like all the geeks have Comic-Con, now you have SportsCon. Be there July 13th and meet fantasy superstars like Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, and Patty Mahomes. These are just a few of the hundreds of players and personalities at the SportsCon this year. Not to mention your favorite people ever, Sleeper Wire and Eat Sleep Fantasy Podcast will be hosting the official fantasy draft party of SportsCon. We've got live drafts, draft boards provided by Draft Party USA. We've got raffles for signed jerseys courtesy of Prestige Sports Memorabilia, dinner, drinks, trivia, and much more. Tickets are limited, so get them now. When they're gone, you're going to wish you had one. Join us July 13th at Top Golf in Dallas for the best after party of SportsCon. Check out draftnightout.com for more info. I'm ready for
Welcome, everybody, to the Sleeper Wire Show. Welcome to the NFC North and South Breakdown. I am your host, Professor Chris, and with me, we've got the trio back together. First off, I got Dirty Jobs Mike, and the third person I'm talking about is, of course, our Prophet Hoos. So we're going to kick it off with some news here before we get into the breakdown of the NFC North and South. First piece of news, this is a couple days old. I guess we talked about it last week, but the NFL is now officially likely to review the festival incident involving Ezekiel Elliott. I think we all saw this coming. Hoos, last week you and I talked about how we would not be surprised and we're almost kind of expecting at least a two-game suspension for him. Even though probably technically didn't do anything wrong. He didn't get in trouble with the law. No cops were involved, no charges filed or anything like that. But given his history, most likely going to get suspended in our opinion, right?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of, which was funny, I mean, I think it was he wearing like a LeBron jersey or something like that when it was going down. And it was funny enough, he kind of nudged a guy and a guy kind of flopped. So it was weird, you know, because it's usually LeBron flopping.
It is.
But he flopped pretty hard. It was kind of funny. He didn't do much, but you can't, I mean, there's cameras right on you. You know, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, we don't need to get into this all again because I feel like I'm just listening to last week's show, listening to you talk about that.
Tony Pollard, you might want to grab that guy.
Yeah. They are going to review it, though. If you want to hear our full feelings, go back and listen to last week's show. Speaking of suspensions, Ben Watson announced on Facebook that he failed a drug test and is suspended for the first 4 months. This is something that honestly isn't that big of a deal. The Patriots knew about this before they signed him. Ben Watson had retired and got some doctor-prescribed medication that technically violated the PED policy for the NFL, and then decided he wanted to come back, so he knew that he was going to technically fail the drug test, that he was going to be suspended 4 games. So this isn't Ben Watson cheating or anything like that. This is something that he knew was going to happen. So, Mike, how do you feel about Austin Seferian Jenkins for at least the first 4 weeks?
You know, it's not like after the first 4 weeks I'm going to feel good about Ben Watson coming back. ASJ, every single time I feel like he's going to go do something in a competent role, he just always lets me down. This guy always goes out there. I mean, he'll have that one big 2-touchdown game. Then he'll go on a drought for 7 games, come back. I feel like it's going to be something like that with him on this team as well. I think they're going to probably start utilizing more of the passing attack out of the backfield and the receiving game.
I guess as my last, you know, second tight end to have, you're not expecting much of this guy. I think they're going to use more of the running backs. We talked about this the past several weeks now that it's kind of, you know, slow. It's the offseason, not much news to talk about. We also talked about it'd be nice for the Pats, not for us because we hate the Pats, but for them to get Kyle Rudolph. It kind of seems like that might happen.
Extension still seems pretty likely.
I don't know. They're talking about he's, you know, just a report came out, I think, well, not too long ago before we hopped on the show. Yeah.
Wednesday.
He does not want to take a pay cut. They did offer him extension, but he says he's not taking a pay cut. So where does that leave them? I mean, sounds like he's going to get cut still, or a trade more than likely get cut.
I mean, why would they cut him though? They still got him under contract for another year. Kyle Rudolph does not seem like the kind of guy who's going to hold out.
Well, I mean, he said he doesn't want to take less money. So where else does that leave them?
Well, I mean, he could still get paid for the season. It's better than zero, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're way less fantasy purposes at that point. I mean, I guess they still want to win games.
But... yeah, and Kyle Rudolph is a big part of that offense. Maybe for sure. When it comes to the pass protection, especially, and he's also a pretty reliable tight end, not for fantasy, but for Kirk Cousins.
Right. We're digressing because we're talking about the Pats a little bit.
Yeah, but, we are.
You know,
that's what happens. We decide we don't want to talk about them.
Yeah,
anymore,
we don't want to talk about the Vikings instead. School. We can move on.
Yeah, let's move on here. Jay Glazer has stated that Todd Gurley's knee issue is, quote, a real concern for him and the team. So we talked a little bit about Todd Gurley last week. Right now in PPR leagues, looking at 12-team PPR, average draft position on Fantasy Football Calculator, Gurley's going at the 111. Mike, is that too early for Todd Gurley?
That rhymed. I'm trying to think of where I'd like to have him at because, man, just the news that keeps coming out about his knee is worse and worse every single time. So I don't think I can spend a first-round pick on him. I think I've heard enough, you know, where I'm like, okay, this is enough concern where I feel like he goes two and a half. Or later, or else I'm out. So I'm probably not going to get any Gurley this year.
All right, so I'm going to read through some of the names that are behind him, and I want you to tell me if you would take Gurley or the other guy. So just kicking off right behind him at the 201, James Conner.
Conner.
Mixon.
Yeah, for sure.
Dalvin Cook.
Ooh, see, that's tough. We're talking about the same kind of...
toeing a line there.
Cooks at the 207.
Yeah, I think I'd take him before Cooks.
Yeah, same question marks there.
So you take Gurley before Dalvin?
Yeah, I would. I'd feel more. I mean, same question mark, but I like the better punctuation.
Right.
Mark.
Yeah.
What about Nick Chubb at the 209? Would you rather have Gurley or Chubb?
Oh man, I think I'd rather have Chubb.
Damian Williams.
Jeez.
<It's tough.
laughs> Keep going. I guess.
So you're gonna take Williams.
I am, yeah.
Devonta Freeman.
I'd take Gurley.
Yeah.
Okay. So those six players are all going in the second round. So it looks like you would take Todd Gurley over Dalvin Cook and Devonta Freeman, but Connor, Mixon, Chubb, and Williams over Gurley.
Wow. That's a weird, it's almost like I
didn't hear it all out
right there because I didn't know that myself.
Well, I guess that's how you're ranking them. So you could just go back to the show and just, you just rank it that way.
Absolutely. Hoos, what about you? Is the 111 too early?
No, I think, you know what, to be honest, this is all rehash. This is not new news. This is, I mean, I know we've been seeing reports of it. And this was Jay Glazer just taking questions. I mean, so he was rehashing reports from over a month ago. This is not new news. This is, if anything, the new news that came about is they're looking to keep him fresh and he's going to be fine for the season and they're not going to rush him back because it's a problem. I mean, it can swell up, but I don't really foresee it being that big of a deal. They got their back to help alleviate getting some rushes off of him. I mean, and it seems like this is the way the NFL wants to go anyway. You've seen a ton of teams do this. I think they're looking for Alvin Kamara type Mark Ingram type of rushing role there. I think Henderson could play that Kamara role. And Gurley could still eat up a bunch of yards and get touchdowns. So their first year, obviously, not the second year where we're still grabbing Ingram and he just didn't do.
I'm in the same boat there with the end of the first. I don't think is too early because at that point in the draft, you can still get a superstar RB1 right behind him. You know, you can probably still get Todd Gurley and then James Conner or Todd Gurley and then Joe Mixon or maybe even Nick Chubb. All three of those guys are top 10 guys this year, in my opinion. So even if Gurley can't go this season or is just a shell of his former self or his knee is just completely messed up, can't do anything, you can protect him with another top 10 running back. If Gurley was going, like you had to take him in the top three if you really wanted him, and then he can't go, you're looking at Devonta Freeman at the end of the second round as your RB1.
Wow.
Yeah. So
not pretty.
If Gurley was going, let's say, in the first 8 picks, I don't think I'd take him. But I guess maybe at the last two picks in the first round, I think that's okay because you can protect him with another RB1. The Jaguars worked out wide receiver Terrell Pryor on Wednesday. Just giving you guys a heads up. Meh. Nothing really there to talk about there. Yep.
It's meh news.
Ryan Fitzpatrick getting the first runs with the starting offense there. So Josh Rosen has not taken over yet. Some Colts news. Good to see. Colts second round wide receiver Paris Campbell is working with the first team offense. So that's awesome. Also, they are holding Andrew Luck out of OTAs again this week. Honestly, no big deal. I mean, franchise quarterback, why would you risk it? You know, we already saw a couple players. Oh, it's our first piece of first team we're going to talk about. Trey Burton had to get a hernia surgery. Yeah. We saw Tyler Kroft broken ankle on the first, or broken foot, I think it was, on the first day of OTAs. Why risk it, you know?
So, Chris, I want to ask you, are your Colts now the Patriots of like wide receivers, but instead of running backs as wide receivers? Like, you guys just had news about Deion Kane. It wasn't really news. It was
no, that news was saying that in 2018, right, before he tore it, he was the favorite to be behind
T.Y. So now that you guys have all of these guys, I mean, if he was the favorite at that point, obviously you got way more options. But yeah, is this kind of like the Patriots where you the Patriots have the running back issue where you don't know who to take? Is it the Colts like that now, but with wide receiver? Like, who's their number two?
I think it's going to be Paris Campbell. Second round pick. He was phenomenal at Ohio State. Great slot guy. Perfect complement to T.Y. Hilton. And he ran, what was it, a 4.34?
Yeah.
That dude is quick.
So what are your thoughts about Funchess then?
Funchess, I think, is going to be more of a, I don't want to say a possession guy, because I don't know if he has the hands for that, but I think Funchess is more going to be kind of like Eric Ebron.
Then you got Ebron. That
means, then you got Ebron, yeah, right.
You got Ebron and Doyle and Kane.
I just don't think Kane is really much to worry about. Kind of like Chester Rogers.
Okay.
Or Zach Pascal, just kind of irrelevant at this point, in particular for fantasy. But the Colts have an awesome offense, and there's potentially a lot of fantasy firepower.
Great problem
for Indianapolis. Yeah, it's a great problem to have. Obviously, you want T.Y. Hilton, you know, as the wide receiver one on the team. That's, you know, crystal clear. But I do think it's going to be, when it comes to fantasy, I think Paris Campbell is going to get you, let's see, I think he's going to get you more huge games, but Devin Funchess might score more touchdowns.
So you see him like Calvin Ridley role pretty much from last year, somewhat like that?
Couple monster games, yeah. I could talk about this forever, so I'm going to move on before we do that. Last piece here, purely a depth move. Saints signed Buck Allen just so that they have someone else to catch the ball.
Makes sense.
Yeah, just so glad to see he got a job. I always liked Buck Allen. He was always a really good PPR option. I know you were a huge fan of him in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got used perfectly. I mean, for his role, he was great in PPR.
Yep. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into the breakdown of the NFC. All right, guys, let's kick off the breakdown of the NFC North.
The North.
Our watch has finally ended. Right. So going in alphabetical order here, we got the Chicago Bears that we're going to talk about first. The fantasy relevant players here, we got Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, of course. At running back, little trio here, David Montgomery, the rookie that they drafted, with Tariq Cohen and Mike Davis. Wide receiver, they got Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, and Taylor Gabriel. And then Trey Burton as the tight end, but we did say he was sidelined after getting that hernia surgery. So they also have Adam Shaheen still back there as well. Mitch Trubisky, I think he's going to be a great guy in two quarterback in super flex leagues. But when it comes to just a regular one QB league, Mike, is he someone worth drafting or is he more of a waiver wire guy?
You know, I think you're going to be picking him up off of waivers. Honestly, I don't think you're going to see him get drafted. I think he's going to be a waiver wire one.
I agree. Yep. And right now, let me look this up here. He is being drafted. I can't even count that high. looks like around the QB20 off the board going in the 15th round.
Oh, well, maybe he's going a little earlier.
Would you take him or Derek Carr?
I think this year I tried it. I think I take my odds on Derek Carr.
What about Lamar Jackson?
Oh, for sure Lamar Jackson.
Dak Prescott?
Oh, for sure Dak Prescott.
Okay, so what about Jimmy Garoppolo? Garoppolo's going in the 11th. That is nuts.
You guys look at this guy's game log?
Yeah, it's not good.
55 points against Tampa Bay? 33 against Miami,
the worst offense in the league?
35 against New England? 25 against the Jets? After that, he just fell off a cliff and didn't come back. Actually, no, he came back for 1 week against Detroit. 42 points.
Yeah.
What the heck is this variance? How does he... You go to 42 points from 16.9. If you started him in week 15, he gave you a solid 23 points. If you're feeling good, you started him in week 16, he gave you 14. Granted, Phillip Rivers did like 3 points that same week, so it probably helped you a little bit more. But what the crazy swing with this guy. So who knows what to expect from him. But, I mean, he's got some potential.
Yep. So point being, Mitch Trubisky, not worth drafting.
No, you're going to be picking him up off of waivers against Tampa Bay. That's what you're
going to do. Who's going to be the running back to own there for fantasy? Montgomery, Cohen, or let's just say Montgomery or Cohen, because Mike Davis is kind of irrelevant at this point.
Could be irrelevant. Could be the Mike Davis show. But
It's not going to be the Mike
Davis
show.
Probably not going to be the Mike Davis show. I have both of these guys ranked in my top 30. Cohen, he's 21 right now, and Montgomery's 25. So
okay, so you're gonna take Cohen.
Yeah, they're both gonna be used. They're both gonna be used very well.
Now, does draft capital, like where you have to take them, matter? So Montgomery currently going in the fourth, and we got, well, I guess fourth. Cohen going in the fifth.
Montgomery's going in the fourth round.
Yeah, Montgomery is going as the 408.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, heck no, he's not going to be in any of my teams.
Is that too early?
Hell yeah, it's too early. 408.
All right. Going as the 24th running back off the board.
So I guess he's going where I said he should be going. You know, I still don't want to draft him that high, though. I'd take him. I just don't want to take him that high, if that makes sense.
Right. No, it makes total sense. It's that capital, man. It's all about capital.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Let's talk about wide receivers here, Mike. So Allen Robinson, is he still the one?
Yeah, I think so. I think that guy's a good receiver once he gets a good rapport going. I mean, it's just he's got to get that rapport going. I mean, look at the years that he's had. This is Blake Bortles to Trubisky. I mean, like, you're not talking about these premier arms that are hucking this guy the ball.
Not a
who would you rather have, Anthony Miller or Taylor Gabriel?
Oh, definitely Anthony Miller. I'd rather have Anthony Miller over Allen Robinson, though. So.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Robinson at all. I think he's borderline. I don't want to say garbage, but he's talented. But on that team, he's just not that useful. I mean, you got a guy, Mitch Trubisky, throwing 6 touchdowns, and this guy only caught 4 on the whole year. Trubisky's throwing 6 in one game. You can't catch one of those, dude. Like, I mean, he actually did catch one in the Tampa Bay game, but he's just not been – maybe he bounces back. I know it was his first year in the offense, but
he didn't have the goat like Bortles.
Yeah,
you know, I get what you're saying. So you'd rather, so in the 7th round when Allen Robinson is there, you're gonna skip over that and take Anthony Miller in the 12th where he's going.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
he's not gonna be on any of my teams.
All right. I like it. We don't really have to talk about the tight end. Like we said, Trey Burton, just monitor that situation. If it's Adam Shaheen, I don't think you really need to worry about that. Let's move to Detroit. Talking about the Lions here. Matthew Stafford, running back. We got Kerryon Johnson, CJ Anderson, and Theo Riddick, who for some reason is still sticking around. Wide receivers, only 2. Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. And then at tight end, they did pick up Jesse James. They signed him, which I thought, I'm going to be actually really excited for Jesse James this season. And then they spent that high draft pick on TJ Hockenson, which destroyed any Jesse James hope. And TJ Hockenson is a Lions tight end who is going off the board as a top 10 pick.
Yeah, that's insane. When it comes
to, actually, no, he's the 11th tight end, 12th tight end off the board.
Am I the only one that isn't a fan of the Detroit tight end? Like, name a Detroit
tight end
that paid off for you in the long run forever.
That's what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. We have a Detroit tight end who's a rookie, who's never played a game in the NFL, who's going as a top 12 tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I know they switched coordinators, and that was Jim Bob Cooter usually didn't feature one as much. So maybe you see a little bit more here, but I'm not buying into a rookie tight end. I mean, rookie tight ends rarely get used, and we're going to just expect him to get used over Marvin Jones, who was hurt for a large part of the season, and over Galladay as well. I just don't see it. I think Riddick there will still get used. That's why he's still on the team. I mean, he's the only really guy there that catches the ball well out the backfield. So I think they use those guys plenty. I'm not a fan of Hockenson. I mean, in Dynasty, sure. But even still, I think I still want Fant over Hawk. So and we've been seeing that in Dynasty, even Hawk go over Fant, which I don't really get. But maybe we see some of that play out into the in a camp and preseason, and maybe he proves us for wrong.
Sure. Yep. Could be. I don't think he will.
No. I'm not buying. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just really high on rookie tight ends based on just what Evan Engram did a couple seasons ago, finishing as he was a top five guy, right? Or maybe right. The tight end six. And so, okay, that's great. So we have this recent history of, yeah, a rookie tight end excelled. But before that, we hadn't had a rookie tight end finish as a tight end five or better since, do you guys happen to know the player? This would have been a good question for Stranger Stats.
I don't, though. I don't know the player. It's going to be a fun answer, though.
He played for your team.
Played for my team. I mean, you said Engram already.
Yeah.
It's another, Shockey or something?
Jeremy Shockey's rookie year. Really? We haven't had a tight end finish that high since Jeremy Shockey as a rookie.
Wow, that's crazy. And the thing that's crazy about this, about that, is Engram, the year he did finish a top five, does anybody remember why he finished a top five?
OBJ being gone?
OBJ, Sterling. Yep. We got decimated. We lost all of our receivers. Literally our one, our two, and our three.
Didn't
receivers.
You lose four of them in one game?
Yep. So, I mean, that's who else is going to catch the ball? Like, that was basically default. He was going to be a top five guy.
Yeah.
Who else was going to catch the ball? So, it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. So, just because Evan Engram did it, like I said, guys, it hadn't happened since Jeremy Shockey's rookie year, which is a long time ago. That was what, early 2000s, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah. Let's move to the Green Bay Packers, though. So we got Aaron Rodgers. Then what I think is going to be much closer to a 50-50 timeshare than a 70-30. We got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams at running back. Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown at wide receiver. And then Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis at tight end. Jimmy Graham, once again, don't draft him. He's going to disappoint you again. Aaron Rodgers, Mike, top five quarterback this season?
Man, I just feel like he's got it in him. I really do. I mean, he's
going to bounce back.
Disappointed us a couple years in a row. Yeah, I feel like he's due.
Right now he's being drafted as the third tight end off the board, so people still agree with that. Who's Aaron Rodgers or Jamal Williams? And you can take where you have to draft them into your equation here.
I'm always going to take Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, over Jamal Williams.
Did I say Rodgers?
Yeah. I know what you meant.
Well.
no, you know what? I don't want...
I would too. Trick question. No,
I don't want either of these guys just because... I know it's not a high draft capital. They didn't spend that much on him. It's a sixth rounder. But they still was able to go out and pick the back that they wanted to pick in Dexter Williams. He won 194th overall. So this is a situation we just got to see play out, and I would not be surprised at all. I mean, Aaron Jones, he just doesn't stay healthy. You know what I mean? He's a guy you're going to give 15 touches to. You can't give him more than that. He's kind of like a Chris Thompson almost, you know, but – you know, it's just he gets hurt if you give him the ball too much. No, he's better than Chris Thompson. But you understand what I'm saying as far as
no,
like,
I get
when
it.
You give him the ball, both guys are potential ones. In the PPR, Chris Thompson, if he's healthy and he can stay out there on the game, he's been a top running back for you. Aaron Jones as well in a PPR.
Yeah.
You know, but these guys are smaller guys and they just don't seem to stay healthy. So Jamal Williams is a big framed guy. Dexter Williams as well. And you're still spending very high draft capital on Aaron Jones. So I feel like you just got to handcuff him if you are invested in either one of these guys. I mean, not either one. Aaron Jones mainly because Jamal Williams is going so late. But Dexter Williams, he might be the guy. So
not, I'm going to say this on air to all the other Sleeper Wire guys in the Dynasty League.
Do not
send me an offer with Aaron Jones. I know I need a running back, but if I see Aaron Jones and Damian Williams in any more offers for me, I'm leaving the league.
I'm sending it back.
I do not want Aaron Jones.
I thought you were going to public shame them and just put it on like Twitter or something like that.
I'm not going to put him on blast. No. No, not even on Twitter. I think more people listen to this show than follow me on Twitter right now, which prof_ChrisSW. Hey, you should go follow that. Yes, I'll give the Twitter handles at the end of the show. I want no part of Aaron Jones. Clearly, Davante Adams, talk about the wide receivers. He's clearly a top five wide receiver, right? He's being drafted as such. He's being drafted as a second wide receiver off the board after DeAndre Hopkins, and he has earned every bit of that. Double-digit touchdowns for three seasons in a row, now I believe it is. Had more than 1,200 yards. I should have had that stat.
I think he had 1,300, almost 1,400 or something like that.
Yeah, 1,377 is what I want to say. You can vet that for me real quick. He has earned every bit of that. So he's well worth, you know, that mid first round pick. Mike, I want to get your take on the other wide receivers though. Now you're a pretty big Geronimo Allison fan, right?
Kind of, you know, it's kind of getting sketchy over there though. You got, you know, MVS and him, Equanimeous St. Brown's coming up over there. I mean, goodness sakes, there's a lot of mouths to feed over there. Randall Cobb's finally gone, but then so that's going to open up one spot there. I just don't know. I think MVS might be the guy here.
Who's who would you say is the number two? Allison, MVS, or St. Brown?
I'm highest on Allison. I've been beating Allison horn train, whatever you want to call it. It was 1386, by the way.
Okay.
So damn near 1,400 yards.
Monster season.
I don't see him having this season again, though. I'm high on Adams. I don't think he'll be top two. I think he'll still finish top five, which is fine. You know, he's the most consistent wide receiver in fantasy. So I'm totally fine with getting him because he's going to give you at least 20 points, at least like 18 points. He's not giving you less than that.
Hands down, the most reliable last season.
For sure. And Allison, when he was playing, he kind of averaged like around 15 points. Now, granted, it was only like four games, but he was targeted very heavily. I think he had like 11 targets in one game or something from Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers loves this guy. He's the one guy I remember last year coming into offseason. He was, you know, if you guys remember, Aaron Rodgers was pissed last year because they cut Jordy. And he was just pissed. He was talking about the players. He was dogging the players. Like, this guy sucks. This guy needs to put more effort in. He was ripping the players. And then the only players he was not ripping was Adams and Geno. He was like, in Geno. You know, Geno, he's the guy. You know, so he raved about him, actually. So I'm very confident in Geno. I believe MVS will be the other guy. But St. Brown, man, he's a talented guy, too. I mean, I believe MVS has the fastest 40 time. I think he ran a 4.37. St. Brown is right behind, I think, at a 4.4. So these guys are all fast. But I think.
Here's who's talking himself in and out of players again.
Oh, no. I'm not talking any. Look, I'm the highest on. Look, how you got it stacked right here? Davante Adams, Geronimo Allison, MVS. That's how I'm selecting them. And I actually am fine with having. I've been grabbing a lot of Allison and MBS late in the rounds. All
right. And we are not drafting Jimmy Graham, right?
I take him if he's there late. I mean, I'm not reaching for him. He was still a top 12 guy. I mean, he's a guy that you're rotating in, you know? Like, he's if you missed out on the big three, the drop-off is vast. It's crazy, the drop-off. So you don't want to be starting these guys on the weekly basis. You're going to be looking at matchups, and Jimmy Graham just might have a good matchup, you know. So I think he caught like six touchdowns, didn't he, at least?
See, I don't feel like the drop-off. I mean, after the top three, yeah, there's a pretty big drop.
Oh, no, he had two for the most part.
But there's – I feel like tight end this year is a little bit deeper than what it has been the last couple seasons.
Every year.
We got Hunter Henry coming back, Evan Engram in his third year, which is typically when tight ends break out, O.J. Howard in his third year, which, once again, typically when they break out, Eric Ebron, who broke out last year with the Colts, Jared Cook in New Orleans now, where Drew Brees historically has loved the tight end. Vance McDonald, who's the only guy in Pittsburgh. Now he doesn't have to share that role with Jesse James. Njoku in his third year. Austin Hooper, who finished as a top 10 tight end last season. So I don't feel like tight end is as weak of a position as what we've had for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that top three, though, it's still...
There's a massive gap.
After that, you just grab any one of these guys and you'll be fine. I mean, what I say is fine is like it's the best you're going to get. You know, you're not going to get that top three, you know, you could say four, you know, because
you're including Hunter Henry because he's your tight end three.
Exactly. Yeah. So that top four after that, you know, OJ, I guess I have at five. And then Engram. And then after that, yeah, I guess it could be a huge drop.
Let's move to the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins, who actually statistically had a really good year last season. Dalvin Cook and the newly drafted Alexander Mattison right behind him. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and I'm not sure why I put Laquon Treadwell in the notes. I think I can just backspace that away. And then Kyle Rudolph for now and Irv Smith Jr. at tight end. Guys, Kirk Cousins, I think he's going to be a quarterback one this season. I think he's going to finish top 12, possibly even closer to 8. I don't see how he can't with a healthy Dalvin Cook.
I agree with that. I have him actually at my number 7, so I'm right up there with you.
I have not completed my rankings yet. That's on my to-do list to do for tomorrow. And then we will try to get those posted to the website relatively soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's his second year in the offense. I don't see him having a worse year. He was 11 last year. Right now I have him 11 as well. So I can't see him finishing worse than that at all.
Yeah, I feel like we really like him. Now, we're doing an industry mock draft right now. That is, it's a super flex, right?
Yeah.
And I was on the clock. I got Drew Brees as my first quarterback off the board. And I'm stuck between, I was stuck, I should say, between Rivers and Cousins. I went with Rivers. But after thinking about it, I feel like I should have gone Cousins. Mike, who would you take, Rivers or Cousins?
Cousins.
Okay, what about you, Hoos? I'm assuming Cousins.
Yeah, I would have took Cousins. I'm not a huge fan of Rivers, just of the way he finishes the year and the season.
He's not a December QB.
Yeah, no, he's not. So,
nope.
Definitely Cousins.
Let's talk about Dalvin Cook just briefly, because we talked about him a little bit when we were talking about Todd Gurley at the beginning of the notes earlier today, of the news, not the notes, beginning of the news. He is a big question mark, but supposedly going to be 100% going into this season. Hoos, are you risking that and you're going to take him in the second round?
Probably not. I mean, and it's no knock on Dalvin. It's just I just try to stay away from backs that – I mean, that's still high
the
for
hamstring.
Me. You know, and yeah, the soft tissue issue. I'm not high on taking backs early. You guys know I usually grab wide receivers early, and then I just grab the
James
White.
Yeah, I need to stop asking you running back questions.
You know, I'm going to end up with, like, it's funny. This guy, we in that same industry mock we had, this guy pulled a Hoos draft pretty much. You end up grabbing 5 wide receivers. We had Michael Thomas, Julio, Diggs, Cooks, and Godwin. And then he has Tariq Cohen, who's the guy that I would end up having. You know, I would end up having with a Tariq Cohen and a James White or something like that. If I did have some sort of style like that, who actually James White went the later round, he probably was going to go for him, but I sniped him. So, I mean, that's kind of my style. I don't usually like grabbing those guys so early because you're investing so heavily into them. And in a PPR, you can always grab a guy that's going to catch a bunch of balls and, you know, you'd be fine.
Now, Mike, talking about the wide receivers, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. Thielen is certainly going ahead of Stephon Diggs. So Thielen right now looks like he's at the 211, and we have Diggs at the 312. Who would you rather have?
I feel like I'd rather have Stephon Diggs. I feel like he's just more of a game in, game out kind of a receiver. And I mean, Thielen has those games where he gets those 35, you know, plus right. point
scores yeah, for eight weeks in a row.
But yeah, but that's where, but then he'll drop off for
yep.
6 weeks, come back for a week and leave for a week. And then Diggs is just out there cranking out 12 to 20,
right.
you know, week in, week out. I'd take Diggs, honestly.
Same thing for you, Hoos.
I mean, in a vacuum, I'd rather have, I guess, I'd rather have Thielen just because I think he's going to score more. But I do agree with Dirty Jobs a lot just because I've had Diggs on a ton of teams. I usually try to have him every year, and he's just so safe. He's always just giving you those. Yeah, he's never going to really hurt you. And Thielen has hurt you in the past. He's giving you single-digit points.
Especially if he's, around championship time. Like, especially yeah. going gets tough time. He's bad.
Yeah, it's been years in a row now. For week 14, he had 12.8. Week 15, he killed you, 3.9. And week 16, he bounced back somewhat for you as a flex, if that's what you're using him as at that point. You drafted him. And, you know, he's putting up bonkers numbers in the beginning of the season. If you traded for him later, you probably that 13.9 was probably okay because maybe use him as a flex. Hopefully, he didn't give up too much, but that 3.9 is brutal. I mean, meanwhile, you were like we were saying, Diggs, you know, that same week, Diggs is out there cranking it out. He's, you know, he had in week 15, he had 15.8. Now, week 16, he only had 9. That was just a bad week, I guess, for Cousins, but still, you know, he's not giving you like a 6 or something like that. So he is safer, but I still would rather have Thielen. I think he scores more.
I keep going back and forth on these guys. I do like both of them. I mean, I just moved to Minnesota last year, so I really like the Vikings. I think they're my NFC team now. And I keep leaning towards Thielen, but that's because in one of my keeper leagues, I'll get to keep him for a 7th-round pick,
oh.
which is amazing. Yeah. I drafted him in the 11th 2 seasons ago, and there's a 2-round penalty. So I got to keep him for a 9th last year and a 7th this year. So I'm, pretty pumped about that. But you know, give me the guy with the better value, and I think that's going to be Stephon right. Diggs at the end of the third.
Yeah.
Can't argue Kyle that. Rudolph, worth drafting, Mike?
You know, I just don't know. I feel like he's going to have a better season this year. I mean, we saw him have a couple big games at the end of last season, but, man, that was literally it for him, was about 2 good games, and the first, 14 weeks, he didn't do anything. So I just don't think I can, but I want to because I really feel like that's such a good system for him. Kirk Cousins loves his tight end. I feel like that was more of a fluke than anything, but man, it's kind of a cautious one. So I feel like, maybe, possibly, but I don't think I would want to get him before the 12th, maybe.
Yep. I don't think he's going to be someone I'm going to draft either. In that range for the 6 to 12 range for tight ends, there's just guys I like better.
Hey, man, week 16, 35 points.
There we go. Yeah, you finally showed out.
He showed up when you didn't start him the whole season, and he just made up for points. And just to get you to a top 7, because that just jumped him to 7. Meanwhile, he was not that for you at all in
not
the
at
season.
All. Nope. Let's move to the NFC South, though, kicking off with the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan at running back. We got Devonta Freeman, Ito Smith at wide receiver. Of course, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and then also Mohamed Sanu, who is actually listed as their number 2, not Calvin Ridley, which I thought was a little strange. And then Austin Hooper, their top 12 tight end from last season for fantasy, which I was kind of surprised about, but he did have a couple big games in a row. Matt Ryan finished, was he the quarterback 2, I believe?
Yep.
Last season, he was the QB 2. Right now, being drafted as the QB 6. So in the 6th round. Where do you have him ranked?
Right now, I actually have him 6.
What about you, Mike?
I think I have him at 8.
Okay, so Ryan or Drew Brees?
Ryan.
I think I like Drew Brees this year better.
Russell Wilson.
Ryan.
Russell Wilson.
Baker.
Ryan.
Baker for me.
No, I'm taking Baker there too. QB5, man.
He's not going to be QB5. You guys are way... I don't understand all this hype on Baker Mayfield.
Because he has, the Madden team to throw to.
That just means he's going to fail.
You put that, that's all it means. You put that roster around him and the fact that he started, I think, was it 12 games and still broke the rookie passing touchdown record. Another year in that offense, another offseason. And you give him OBJ, who already had a great rapport with Jarvis Landry going back to their college days.
Oh, college schmollage.
You know what? It's
I mean,
but they still have a great relationship. Good chemistry.
But what does that have to do with Baker, though? I mean, I don't know. I just think people are too – I love them as a team, but for fantasy purposes, they can't all eat. They can't all be, like – useful guys. They just can't be.
But you know who can?
He's not Baker. Mahomes. You know, he's
but
not
Baker
be
can
Mahomes.
Be useful.
I don't. Yeah, he's gonna be useful. I just don't see him turning in like a Mahomes.
51 touchdowns, Baker Mayfield.
Book it, pin it, pin it somewhere. He won't be on my teams because he's just going way too high. I loved him when we got him in the Scott Fish last year. We got him for nothing, basically.
Yeah, but I still need to sign up for that.
Yeah, you probably should.
So, Mike, over under 31 touchdowns for Baker.
Oof, that's kind of almost the number I had him. I think I have him at 35, so I'm going to say over.
I'm taking the over, too. What about you, Hoos?
You said 31?
Yep, over under 31.
Yeah, I'll give him over that.
I don't know what Vegas has him at. I was just picking an arbitrary number. But just kind of based on last year. Let's move on, though, because we are not talking about Baker Mayfield. We're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. So, you guys, this is why Hoos, Mike, and I can't do shows together very often.
I'll take the blame. Just sidetracked. I'll just take the blame. Because it's me.
In all honesty, it's usually Hoos's fault.
Yes, I'll take the blame.
But then I ask leading questions like, okay, what about him or Baker? And then it just this whole big tangent. You'd think I would have learned my lesson by now, but...
It's been a while.
Let's keep going here. Devonta Freeman being chosen at the 212 is right on that cusp of being chosen as an RB1. Mike, do you think he'll be top 15?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Hoos, what about you?
No, I have him way too low right now, but I just can't bear to move him higher just because he hasn't shown us much in the past few years. So I just, you got to prove it. You got to prove it to me. Right now, you're Doug Martin to me.
Julio Jones currently going at the 112. He's the fourth wide receiver taken off the board. Mike, would you rather have Julio Jones or Michael Thomas, who's going at the 110?
I have Julio Jones for sure.
What about OBJ?
Julio Jones.
Julio!
Hoos, what about you?
Yeah, definitely Julio. I got OBJ as a bust.
Yeah, I know you do. He's an OBJ hater.
No, I love the guy. I mean, I hope he does well over there. I hope he's happy and everything. I just, every year, I just think that people overvalue OBJ. He hasn't turned in a top five fantasy year in some time. So I don't understand why we just continue to place him there.
Yeah.
And he's on a new offense.
We're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. shit keeps coming back around to the Browns.
That's who we really want to be discussing.
Yeah,
clearly.
Calvin Ridley going relatively early right now. I believe he is going. Yeah, he's going at the 503. Is that actually early? I feel like it's early, but then you know it doesn't seem like Calvin Ridley should be a fifth round pick. Like maybe like closer to the seventh round. But then I look at some of the guys who are going around him, and I just feel like quarterbacks are being taken later and later every single year.
Right.
So we got some guys who are going after him. Chris Godwin, Jarvis Landry, Tyler Lockett, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd. Who's your favorite out of that group? Man, Boyd, I'm assuming.
Those guys are all like in the same. They could finish. They're all like right back to back. I like Boyd maybe the most. I think I have actually Lockett ranked the highest. I don't have my ranks right in front of me right now, but I can pull them up while you guys.
So is Ridley worth that fifth round pick? Now, so I know you generally take a lot of wide receivers early. So try to take that little bit of bias out of it. Would you want him as your wide receiver two?
No, I wouldn't. Not
what about
all.
Your three?
Yeah, I guess I'm fine with him as a three.
What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I think that's about right where I'd have him, a three to a flex position somewhere in there. Fifth round does seem a little steep for that.
Yeah, I don't want him in the pit, though. That's, I don't feel high.
He feels like just a little bit later. I mean, there's guys going in the seventh. I think I would take Robbie Anderson over him.
Yeah, that's it's right there.
I'm close on that.
That's tough, but yeah, these guys, all those guys, man, those are all good guys, man. Like, that should just finish. They have all have that potential to finish as a I don't want to say a high end two, but mid, you know. So it's a good class. It's a good that's a good group to if you wanted to wait, I guess, somewhat. And just stack up on running backs. I still don't think these wide receivers are doing it for you, though. Like, in the, when you get to the finals and stuff, maybe they get you through some weeks and you win some games. But give me the Julios and all those other guys, the Diggs, the Thielens. I think those guys are going to be winning championships for you, while the other running backs that you're drafting high probably getting injured.
Could be. Lastly here, Austin Hooper going in the 10th round as the, let's say, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 11th tight end off the board. Mike, is that about where you have him?
Yep, that's exactly where I have him, actually, is right. The 11.
Hoos, what about you?
Hooper?
Yep.
Hooper, I have an 8.
Okay. Yep, so still tight end 1 for both of you guys. Let's move to Carolina. So we got Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Chris Hogan. I actually forgot that Chris Hogan signed with the Panthers.
Yeah.
So I was going through the depth charts and I was like, are you kidding me? I had to double check that.
Pretty sure the website was right. Forgot, everybody else forgot. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So we got DJ Moore, Chris Hogan, Curtis Samuel, and Jarius Wright. And then at tight end, still Greg Olsen is coming back and Ian Thomas. Cam Newton right now, I think, is being pretty undervalued. So he's currently going in the 10th round. He's still a top 12 quarterback taken off the board. He's right on that cusp. But he's going after Kyler Murray, after Jared Goff, after Carson Wentz, barely before Jameis Winston. Cam Newton, historically, when he's played all 16 games, he's usually a top 4 guy. Is the 10th round too late, Mike? I feel like it is.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you're still close. I mean, you're there, but yeah, too late.
Yeah, you're still in at that point.
Yeah, if Cam Newton's there in the 10th, I'll take that all day.
Yeah, see, I mean, you still got the question mark still, too, of course.
Yeah, and he did have that shoulder surgery, right?
Yeah, that's the question marks, his shoulder.
But he had that same shoulder surgery a few years ago and then came back and was, I think, the quarterback 1 or 2. So hopefully the same thing's going to happen. Christian McCaffrey, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on him. Right now he's going at the 104. Clearly a stud, especially in PPR. I mean, the dude's just a monster. There was a report that he's stronger than he was in 2018, and he already looked like the Hulk. Some of those workout videos.
See what's in that guy's protein shakes and stuff.
Yeah, he's drinking that special water from, what was the name? From Space Jam.
the secret sauce or whatever.
Secret juice, something like that.
Was.
Yeah. Something's secret in
stuff.
His water.
Secret stuff.
Secret stuff. Yeah. That's it. Yep. Oh, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. Great, right?
Once again, how is this going to connect to the Browns? How are we going to get off
we'll
on that,
find a way.
That tangent?
I'm sure he'll be in Space Jam 2, Odell, right? He'll find a way to be in that. Yep.
So, wide receiver, like I said, we got DJ Moore. I like him to break out this season. He's going right around the same place that the guys that we were just talking about. He's going in the 6th round of the 605 right after Tyler Boyd. He's going before Alshon Jeffrey, Tyreek Hill, going before Allen Robinson, Robbie Anderson. I think 7th round is about where he should be. I would take him after all of those guys that I just mentioned, except maybe Tyreek Hill. Once again, it's May. We have no idea what's going to go on with that. But I would take Robbie Anderson, Allen Robinson, and Alshon over DJ Moore. But I do like DJ Moore.
Yeah, I've had him right next to Landry. And I probably, I don't know. I guess he's fine there. I was going to say I should probably move him ahead. But and that's at 28 and 29. I do have Alshon ahead of him.
Mike, would you like DJ Moore as your wide receiver too? Or is he more of like the 3, even 4 guy? Someone who you don't want to rely on every week?
Yeah, 3 to a flex for me is where I'd have him. I mean, 3 would be being very generous, I feel like. I feel like the flex would probably be the more likely position for him on my team.
Yep, I feel the same way about him there. Greg Olsen, still being drafted. All right, he's still is currently going at the 14-12, so still being drafted right before Tyler Eifert. I am not touching him this year. What about you, Mike?
No, I don't think I am either.
Who's?
I actually still have him ranked in the top 12. I might really? Need Where'd to move him. You know what? This is no. Yeah, I guess I got. I have to revisit this, but as I'm looking through it, it looks fine. I have him at 10. I have Vance McDonald ahead of him, Austin Hooper. I'm have to update this because I have Ebron there, and I've been a little low on him the past few days. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to revisit this, but right now
so he
I
might get
at
pushed
10.
Out of your top 12.
Yeah, he might get pushed right outside of it.
Yep. Let's move to New Orleans, talking about the Saints here. So another powerhouse team for fantasy: Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Latavius Murray. At wide receiver, we got Michael Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, Keith Kirkwood, Ted Ginn, and Cameron Meredith still sticking around, and Jared Cook at tight end. Drew Brees, I still think, is going to be top seven guy. I mean, career star for fantasy at the quarterback position.
Right.
Alvin Kamara going at the 102, and he's earned every single bit of that. I think the more interesting guy is Latavius Murray. I'm a big Latavius fan. And I want to ask you guys, Mike, I'll start with you first. Does Alvin Kamara really get that much more work than he did last season?
I don't think so. I think they'll just probably go out there and try to give him the same balance. And the one thing that's going to be different is Latavius Murray is going to be on the field for 16 games, not 10 or 12 or whatever Ingram played last year after his suspension. So.
Yeah, so looking at the stuff last year, actually, let me kick that to you too, Hoos. So, Alvin Kamara, we had 194 rushing attempts, 883 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns. Which touchdowns, that's a massive number. But 194 attempts, 81 catches, 709 yards. Do you see him getting more than 194 attempts?
No, I mean, he's Alvin Kamara, he's using that mold where they want to use him out of the backfield. They're going to give him some rushes. He's that lightning pace. You know, he's not the grinder. So, I mean, he's kind of obviously a way better Buck Allen, obviously. But he's, you know, that's Buck Allen. They brought him in to kind of be that number two Alvin Kamara kind of guy. And then they brought in the rookie, Ozigbo. He's kind of the Murray plotter. So I like Murray a lot. We talked about him before the show. Love to get him late. Kamara, no, I don't see him getting used too much more. I still have him top five. Might need to move him above Gurley, but I have Gurley ahead of him right now.
Yeah, I got no issue with Alvin Kamara being taken as a second running back. I don't know if I would have him ranked there, but I have no issue if someone wants to do that. The point I'm trying to make is that it doesn't seem like he can handle that much more. I mean, here at 194 carries, 81 catches. Ingram, in a year where he was suspended and really a down year, had 138 rushing attempts. Those 138 are gone. The year before, he had 230, more than 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns on the ground, 58 catches, 416 yards through the air. That's not going to happen for Latavius. I mean, he's never, ever been known for his hands, or in particular for his speed. But I think Latavius can certainly easily get 170, 200 carries. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for him at all. He's stepping right into that Mark Ingram role. I think he could definitely finish as a tight or as a running back one. I'm not going to have him ranked there, but he easily could.
I mean, the
I am high on Latavius.
Oh, a running back one. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, he could. I mean, we've seen Mark Ingram do well in that role. So and he's a much bigger guy, and he's lasted. So and he's probably not going to be suspended. I mean, not that we know of, or you know, what could happen. But yeah, definitely like the value there. He's dropping so low in drafts. It's kind of insane.
Yeah, he's going at the 803. Mike, how do you feel about him there? Would you take him at the 803, or would you take him even earlier?
Yeah, I think that's about right where I get him. About the eighth, you know, the eighth round, middle eighth, early eighth to middle eighth.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even mind reaching for him around earlier.
We were doing this. I just want to bring this up real quick. The draft with the other mods and analysts from Sleeper, and Hoos, you were part of this one.
Yeah.
And this was right after we had just talked about, you know, how much I would much rather have Carlos Hyde over Damian Williams. And great little bit from last week's show, guys, if you didn't catch that one. The draft came around. It was my pick. I had the first overall, so I was drafting the first pick in, I believe, the eighth round. And I took Latavius over Carlos Hyde. Then, so I was thinking, oh, Hyde's going to make it back to me. And, of course, you took him. Because you already had Damian Williams.
Right.
But, Mike, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Latavius or Hyde?
I think Hyde, honestly. I feel like I like Hyde's opportunity a little bit more. I do like Latavius. I do like what he's going to do there. I still feel like why couldn't I remember his name? I still feel like he's going to be the scoring back on that team more often than not. Where I feel like Carlos Hyde could just take over the field for a long time.
Yeah, it could happen. I mean, he's the guy you want just because if he does take over that backfield, he's going to be a top 10 guy for sure. But as you were alluding to, Latavius could be a top 10 guy with his standalone value as well. So those are two good guys. I mean, you want both. I think I want both of those guys if I could get them.
We saw 2 seasons ago, Kamara finished as the 3 and Ingram finished as the 6.
Yeah, so it's possible
Saints that both running backs have done it.
Yeah, and Murray's a big dude. He's hard to bring down. People trash him every year, and I don't get it. Like, look at his numbers.
He's got a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, and that's something I like my football players to have, a little chip on his shoulder, a little something to prove.
He's going to prove it this year for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Wide receivers, Michael Thomas, drafted as the 3rd wide receiver off the board right now. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on him. Clearly a stud. Are there any other Saints players even worth drafting? Mike, would you draft Tre'Quan Smith, or is he a waiver wire guy?
I feel like he's draftable. I think it just kind of depends on your draft, though. I mean, you're going to see a lot of you're going to see him available. Like, when we're talking about him in the great debate, we're going to be saying he's available in 40% of leagues, you know, something to that effect. So he's going to get that 60-40 split for drafts, yep. I think. But I just don't depend on New Orleans receivers. I never have. Drew Brees he's going to be kind of like Baker Mayfield. So many different weapons, so many ways to utilize weapons that the only guy I want on that team is the quarterback. You know, when we're talking about throwing. And then, of course, I want Kamara in every single
game. And Michael Thomas.
See, and I really just don't even care about Michael Thomas. I'd rather have, like, Keenan Allen or Julio Jones.
No.
Real quick, where do you have Jared Cook ranked, Hoos?
Jared Cook, I have him rank 14.
Mike?
12.
All right. I think I'm leaning more towards the 9 or 10 spot for me, but I'll have to finalize my rankings this week and get those posted somewhere. Last team here, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of fantasy relevance on this team. Jameis Winston could be in for a breakout season or another disappointing season. Peyton Barber, who's his favorite player of all time? The horrible Peyton Barber. I know I was wrong about Ronald Jones taking that job last season.
Yeah, you were.
But it's not like Peyton Barber was anything special.
Hey, he was a back that you started, and you could start him. Like, he was starting back.
He was a back that you started.
Yeah, that you could start.
Yep.
You could plug him in, and he would get you about 8 points.
He would get you, 60 yards, maybe a couple catches.
Hey, you take it. I mean, if he's – it's better than, you know, it's not that great, but
– it's better, you know, than Jones, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Let's talk about the wide receivers here, though. Really, we got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Now, Mike Evans in a Bruce Arians offense is going to be a superstar, right? He could definitely finish as a top 5 wide receiver. He's going to be amazing. Chris Godwin, I think, is also going to have a great year. Now, he's stepping in as the number 2 now, DeSean Jackson being gone. Godwin is going in the 5th round, so he's going after Calvin Ridley, after Sammy Watkins, after Kenny Galladay, after Woods and Kupp. Any of those guys I just mentioned, would you take Godwin over any of them? I'd take him over Calvin Ridley, for sure.
For sure. Woods, too. not Cup, but Woods, I would.
What about you, Hoos? No explanation, just give me.
No, yeah, I'll take him over. I wouldn't take him over Woods or Cup, but I take him over Ridley, Boyd.
So you'd take Galladay over him still?
No, I don't have Galladay that high. I have Galladay 25.
Yeah, okay. Pretty low too.
I got
So you like Chris Godwin over all those guys?
Yeah, I have Chris Godwin 21 right now.
Okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah, people are real high on him, and it could be for a very good reason. I mean, he flashed a few different times last season.
Yeah, I mean,
he followed up
him.
Those flashes with horrible games.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, if you use them kind of like how you thought you were gonna get, like I had him, and I just used him as a flex all season, and he was fine as a flex. You know, like. No one wanted him, so I couldn't trade him. So it's like, as high as I was on him, nobody else believed me, you know. And it was just like, no, sorry, you can keep him. You know, you're high on them, you can keep him. You know, but then they got Breshad Perriman as well, who I know we want to laugh, but Breshad Perriman, he ended the season quite well with your boy Baker Mayfield. He had I think 3 or 4 double digit games in a PPR. And now he's going to be taking over that Adam Humphries role, and
he
Adam
could
Humphries
be a difference maker.
Yeah, Adam Humphries looked kind of better than Godwin at times. Actually, not kind of. He did look better at Godwin at times, as far as fantasy use.
OJ Howard certainly going to be top 10. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right, guys, that is going to be it for the show. We ran a little bit long this week, but hopefully we entertained you for those extra 6 or 7 minutes or so. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show, and each one of us individually. I am on there at prof_chrissw. Hoos is on there at HoosTheProphet, and Mike is DirtyJobs21. Follow us on Facebook at the Sleeperwire Fantasy Football Club. And then on the Sleeper app as well, Professor Chris, Prophet Hoos, and Dirty Jobs. Mike, Hoos, thank you so much for joining me this week. It was amazing to be back on a show with you guys. Everybody else, we will catch you next week. Have a good one.
Bye.